You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Tampa Bay Rays with MLB.com's Rays beat reporter, Bill Chastain. Bill, it has already been a tremendously tumultuous offseason for the Rays, and haven't even gotten to the part of the offseason where they start making player transactions. What do you anticipate changes with this club as far as philosophy or way of doing business with the personnel changes in the front office and in the dugout?
Well, first off, I think it's going to be most interesting to see if they try to who they try to get as manager. I mean, Davey Martinez has been sitting at Joe Madden's, you know, side for the past five, 6 years, and you know, he would be the obvious choice to continue as the manager. But, you know, they've never done things, you know, you try to predict what these guys do, and you're always going to come out wrong. So, kudos. I mean, they're going to probably announce those managerial candidates either today or tomorrow. Once they do that, I think, you know, they'll kind of get down to business, although they probably already, the evaluators are probably already there trying to figure out which guys that did not perform well last year, their performance was an aberration, or whether or not they think they will, you know, continue, you know, not to perform well. So, and they've got some choices along those lines too, from guys who are probably going to, you know, improve their lot financially via arbitration. So, you know, guys like Sean Rodriguez, Matt Joyce, those guys are getting to the point where being a part-time or a semi-regular player at what they're going to make, you got to wonder if they're going to want to keep those guys around. But I look for most of the stuff they're going to do in the offseason, probably by trade. I don't anticipate them being too active in free agency. And I do think they kind of feel like if they'd have played the season 100 times last year again, you know, they might have had 95 better, much better outcomes than what they had with the team that they left spring training with. And I know myself, I thought it was one of the better teams. I thought I'd seen them leave spring training with, but it just shows you how crazy a season can go.
Yeah, I mean, I picked them to win the American League, so I was certainly in that camp who didn't expect it to go the way it did. Do you anticipate anything within the front office? I think it seems like it was kind of built to continue in the absence of one person, and yet, you know, that one person who's leaving is a pretty central part of it. Do you anticipate any change in philosophy or in the way they do business based on that change in that front office group?
The only changes I see philosophically will be if they come up with something to kind of recreate some more offense. I know it kind of reminds me, I know, Matthew, you're a football guy. It kind of reminds me when Steve Spurrier went to the University of Florida and all of a sudden SEC, he brought passing to the SEC. When Madden and all these guys came along to the Rays, they kind of brought this shifting stuff and a little more of the we're crunching maybe than some of the other teams were doing. And now all of a sudden everybody seems to have kind of caught up to those wrinkles. So I think they are mostly in the mode of looking for that next new wrinkle that can produce some offense, because basically it's an offensively challenged game right now. So, you know, what is out there? Who knows? You know, I mean, people have adapted so much to the shifts and you know, defensive positioning according to the, you know, the metrics. What is the next great thing? And I think that's probably the only thing where they would veer from their playbook is to try and find something in that, you know, along that avenue.
With all of the changes that have happened and with the sort of challenges seems to be facing this club for 2015, is there any chance that they take – I don't think anybody expects them to do a full rebuild, and it would be silly, but to take maybe a year of kind of a transitional year, kind of consolidate and aim for a year from now, not pack it in at all, but just kind of identify maybe a transitional year, or is this organization in a position where its only option is to make sure it's aiming for the postseason every year?
You know, I think what they lost, that's a very good question, but by the same token, you look at what this new manager is going to come in and have, particularly when you start with the starting pitching. And there's a lot of managers in baseball who would do somersaults to have, you know, the starting pitching they're going to have, and it's about eight deep. So, you know, does Will Myers come back to form? Is Kevin Kiermaier able to come and lock down a spot? Will Desmond Jennings, you know, resume, you know, get back on the fast track again? I think they got a lot of good players, and I look for them to contend in what I think is a fairly weak division other than maybe the Orioles.
What do you anticipate from – when you talk about the rotation, there's some guys who seem very set, and there's one interesting big question. What do you anticipate from Matt Moore, and what does the club anticipate from him this coming year?
I think Matt is, you know, in the one time I really had a long conversation with him, he was cautiously optimistic about, you know, June. I think probably in that, you know, we're probably in the June, July area for him, and you don't want to push him too much, even though, you know, every time I've talked to him, he says he feels great, and, you know, he's right in the midst of his comeback from the Tommy John surgery. But, you know, they have a lot of guys who can pick up the slack, you know, starting with Alex Cobb, who I think is really a number one starter. And I don't throw around the term number one starter that much. I know a lot of people are slotted in the number one spot, but I think he's actually a true number one starter. And, you know, on top of that, you got Archer and Odorizzi, the new guy, Smiley, and Jeremy Hellickson. I think Jeremy Hellickson is maybe one of their wild cards, because I think he got his elbow fixed up. He came back last year, you know, just kind of feeling better, but not quite all as sharp as he used to be. You know, he used to really split both sides, you know, hit both sides of the plate, and his changeup's really good. So, you know, those six guys right there, when you include Moore, it's, you know, it's a pretty nice rotation. And on top of that, Nathan Carnes came in and did well last year, as did and Alex Colome is coming up as well. So that's pretty eight strong arms. And, you know, three of those guys are going to have to contend for Moore's spot. But, you know, who knows? I mean, that's the kind of problems you want to have.
Do you think they part with any of that starting pitching depth in order to upgrade the offense?
You know, truthfully, I think they'll wait. I mean, if certainly they've always had the, you know, taken the stance that, you know, everybody they have is for, you know, for sale if they want to, you know, for the right price. But I think with some of the problems they had last year, and really if you get back to what really waylaid them last year, they lost Cobb, Moore, and they started the season without Hellickson, which really hurt them the first 2 months of the season. So as Andrew Friedman used to say, they never want to go to market for starting pitching. So, you know, a lot of these guys can season a little further in the minor leagues, and if there is an injury, then they bring them up. So I don't anticipate them trading any of those guys. Unless, you know, Hellickson is getting kind of pricey. You know, he might be a guy they would consider, but probably a lot of teams considering him would want to see a little bit more based on what he did last season and coming back from the elbow injury.
And then this is a topic we've discussed quite a bit, but it continues not to go away. What do you think is the likelihood that Ben Zobrist is on this team opening day next year, or do you think that there's a decent chance he gets moved this winter?
You know, I don't think he's going to get moved. I think right now it's probably I thought probably he would, but I'm more of the opinion now that, you know, they have changed so much that, you know, they probably want to hang on to him for his, you know, the last year they have him under contract. And then if they want to go forward, you know, I mean, maybe it's a deal where they would trade him at midseason if they're not in the hunt. But, you know, really, the two fan, you know, longtime Rays now are Longoria and Zobrist. And although I will give the management credit on this, they've never really, you know, seemed to let fan sentiment, I mean, that sounds cold in some respects, get in the way. But when you're trying to build, you know, a championship ball club, you always want to make the best decision, regardless of sentiment, on who you think the best player is according to your valuations.
Well, yeah, the expression I always loved is, if you listen to the fans, you'll be sitting with them.
Right, exactly.
if it's not Zobrist and it's not from the starting pitching, what do you think the assets they have are that might be most valuable to bring in some kind of upgrade and trade?
Well, it depends, you know, what they do with some of these guys. I mean, they've got kind of a glut in the outfield, but I'm not sure they would tender Sean Rodriguez and Matt Joyce based on you know, where they would be arbitration-wise, whether or not you'd have to wear those salaries or not if they weren't able to trade them. So, you know, it's just a guessing game. I really don't see them doing a lot in the offseason. I mean, and they've got a pretty deep bullpen. They've already decided to bring back Peralta. They're hoping that, you know, Balfour has a season next year like he ended the season. He ended the season strong. And, you know, Boxberger and McGee were strong at the back. Beliveau, they got a lot of different names. And I just don't see a lot they have to do. And now, if somebody comes to them and makes a deal for, you know, somebody they think is a sweet offensive player, or if there comes a guy who comes available free agency and they feel like they can clear the money for a one-year deal type guy, they might do that. But they kind of, you know, I felt like they kind of gotten accustomed to using the DH as kind of a spot to put a guy every night, either rest a guy or a guy who's a hot hitter against that pitcher instead of having an everyday DH. And then also that allows you to keep position player on the roster as well.
All right. Well, Bill Chastain, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, t-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.